Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us for another week. Ava, good to see you.
It's good to be seen.
And Don's off gallivanting somewhere. He's not here again. But hey, as
usual, two most important people are here.
Yeah, and we fly through this show, man. I'm telling you, we.
You know, I say that because he really is the most important person.
You're breaking up what?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have a fun show today. We're going to talk a little bit about one of the things we talked about last week, which was limits and what's going on, reducing limits, why, and guess what Wisconsin's going to be doing for a completely different reason. Let's get to the bottom of it. Stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming right up.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Good to see you, Ava.
It's good to be seen again.
You know, when I was putting together today's show, we talked a little bit about it off air. And it's one of the things, so that you guys, just in case you didn't know, when we talk off air, a lot of times we catch ourselves just like, wait, this is good radio. We need to stop talking so we can make sure that you guys hear our conversation. And this is one of those shows that I was, when I'm putting it together, I thought, you know what? It's a dilemma that we are having this year more so than any year I can remember.
In quite some time, yeah.
And the topic was... what to do in a season that never was. Now, where does that come from? Well, winter was here, it wasn't, it was here, it wasn't, and then it went sub-zero for 4 days, then it went back warm again. People were going to go ice fishing, then they couldn't, or they did, they got stuck, they got pulled off the ice, or they couldn't go. You were going to go skiing, and it didn't. You were going to go ice fishing. Locally, you couldn't. And now, this last weekend with the snowstorm, well, people want to go, they can go open water fishing, but you don't dare go open water fishing when the ramp is got X amount of snow on it, depending on where you were at.
Sure.
It's dangerous and, you know, big winds and everything else. So it turns into a, what are you going to do?
I have a question. Any, predictions on flooding with the Mississippi here in our area? Because,
not,
I mean, there's like no snow to
not
melt.
Not a chance.
Well, interesting.
After this last snowstorm, now we got
right,
a lot of
but
snow.
But I mean, like, usually in spring here in Red Wing and Lake City, we deal with
because
the melt for some time.
Up north.
Right.
And
up north doesn't
happen. Two things
anything.
Happened. One, we've had no snow so that the ground is somewhat, not all the way thawed, but any snow you're going to get is going to be a relatively, slow melt. And what's going to happen? It's going to be absorbed because it was extremely dry last fall. Well, guess what? We're going to be having that same situation this year as we did last year, low water in the rivers. And if you look out west, that's going to be a whole different story. If you're looking like in Pierre, they're going to, I believe, and you guys out there, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do know that whole Missouri River chain is fed by mountain runoff. Now, I know that certain parts of the mountains are getting a lot of snow. I know that Bighorns, Big Sky, Montana.
I mean, they always do, though. It's kind of one of those
things. Big Sky's not, they haven't got anything.
Really?
Bad. I'm supposed to go out there in April for a big ski instructor education event, academy. And it's hurting bad. They had 55 degrees last Sunday. Talking to a friend of mine out there at the Yellowstone Club. Felt like 75. She actually had a thermometer, and it was 75 on the thermometer where she was sitting in the sun, and it is melting faster than you can possibly imagine. So really what it comes down to is take the time. If you're inside, enjoy. Don't worry about it. This whole week has been cold. Overnights are not above 25. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, go with the flow. Get out when you can.
Stay in when you have to.
And yeah, exactly. And get prepped, because when summer's here, spring, I should say spring, let's hope it's spring, then summer.
You never know.
You never know. But, you know, prep it, whether you're going to go bow hunting. Go do indoor practice. If you're fishing, get your tackle sorted out. Move the car out of the garage and do some of that. Check out what's tackle. Check out the rods, the lines, all that. If you're heading out skiing and you're obviously the areas are closed and you're heading out west, go to an indoor deal. Go to the one place that I go to is the Alpine Factory. And, you know, you're skiing on a belt of carpet, which is actually pretty darn cool. So getting the understanding of what to do and instead of this mental apoplexy, I guess is the way to put it. You don't know what to do. You're kind of stuck. Don't get stuck flipping through TikTok. Don't get stuck flipping through. I mean, you can get sucked into that black hole so fast. Get out and do something. Or if you're going to sit on, you know, learn something.
Hey, that's a good idea.
You know, put up an educational a video on fishing.
Learn a new language.
Oh.
Yeah. Why not?
Talk like a fish.
What else are we going
to
do?
Yeah, exactly. So the real piece of the puzzle comes down to, don't get frustrated. That's a big thing.
Still and plenty to do. Just got to be creative.
But I tell you what, it's a challenge.
It is.
And that's why this came up in my mind, because I'm looking outside saying, well, I want to do this, but
And I could do it last week, but now I can't do it this week.
Now I can't do it. And, you know, so don't get frustrated. Just focus on what your next activity is going to be and make sure it's ready. Because the biggest thing is, I often find I get out in the water in my boat and it's like, oh crap, why did I do this before? And then you end up doing it while you're out in the water rather than not, you know, preparing before you go out. So take the time and do it. The sports show's done. It's gone. It's past. And you're going to have some good times coming up.
When does turkey start?
Well,
is that a May thing or an April thing?
I believe it's a May. Well, it depends. Depends on where you're at. So
okay.
We can look that up.
Few weeks.
Yeah. Well,
honestly,
it'll be entertaining.
Mm-hmm. 4 to 6 weeks, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 4 to 6 weeks.
She's a common.
I hope it goes well this year, too.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned, you guys. We've got some good things coming. We're talking about lower bag limits in Wisconsin, and I'm going to get off on a soapbox. People love it when I do that. And what's the real story behind limit reductions? Is it what's in Minnesota's going on or Wisconsin? Stay tuned. More of that coming right up. Welcome back, everybody. And, of course, we always like to have you guys check us out on Facebook. And where else?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
It's always a good place to go. When you don't know what you're going to do, like I said, just peruse our website.
You know, my question could be answered easily on our website of when does turkey start? Just in case anybody else is wondering.
I don't want to answer that because we're broadcast in...
in many different locations.
5 states now, I think it is.
5?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I know. Isn't it awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Or scary?
A little bit of both.
There is.
But it's all right.
KALAMAZOO.
Mm-hmm. Michigan. So we got Minnesota,
peer
Michigan.
Peer pressure.
South Dakota. Do we have Wisconsin?
I think it broadcasts. I think we partially
Green
get
Bay.
I believe we get into Wisconsin. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. I probably think we're getting into Iowa, but of course, with the podcast, we're going global.
Mm-hmm. We're a few places in Minnesota too, St. Cloud and Winona as well.
Yeah, we're out in, I think, Redwood Falls. And,
did you know that I did radio out in South Dakota?
No, I did not. Where?
Yeah, for a year and a half. Rapid.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, loved it out there. Loved it.
Oh, yeah, that's a great spot. It's one of my favorite places. Mm-hmm. Favorite places of all time. Well, of course, this year would not be jumping into stories. This year would, of course, this show slash this time of year, I would be remiss if I didn't kind of close out my favorite thing.
Well, you might as well do it now without Don Cleaver here, too, because then you can just talk about it and not feel like.
But it's a big story, I have to admit. I mean,
and it's local.
It is. Part of it's local.
Part of it. Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly. So number one story, big story. Kind of cool in the athletic slash the ski world. Mikayla Shiffrin, one of my all-time faves. She just won her 60th slalom win and 97th win overall.
My goodness.
And that's not been done before.
How old is she now?
20.
She's still in her 20s?
9, I think. But most important thing here... Yep, 29. Just turned 29.
Nice. Yep.
Now, here's the big thing. She just came off of a major, major injury. And it was a knee injury. She had strained or stretched a knee ligament and another part of her knee as well. She's won 9 of 21 races this year. Amazing. She also, her boyfriend was also significantly hurt, like a life and death type injury that he had, and really makes it kind of that much more special. She won their first race back and then won the second one. So the last two races of the year, she came back from injury and won both of them.
Nice.
And
what happened to her boyfriend? Was it a skiing thing or was it a
crash?
It wasn't a car
crash.
Yeah,
one of the biggest things in the tour this year has been the number of people, the number of top skiers that have been hurt in, and I mean major hurt in crashes. And they're taking a look at what they can do there. Now, go to the local story. Big deal. Since we also talked about having, they've had the Minneapolis cross-country event for a World Cup here out at Theater Worth. It was a pretty big event, and... Jesse Diggins has now won the overall World Cup title in cross-country skiing, and with the recent win on the 20K freestyle mass start, that's the craziest thing ever. When you mass start, everybody takes off at the same time. It can be such a tangled mess. It's pretty crazy, but...
Isn't that half the fun, though? The chaos?
Yeah. You used to do that with fishing tournaments, if
you can
imagine.
Oh, gosh.
Everybody... hammer the throttle, and you just hope somebody's faster.
How do they do it now?
By number.
Gotcha.
1-1-1. You just go by your number so nobody gets hurt. Jesse Diggins, her historic World Cup season included 6 wins, 12 podiums, which means she was first, second, or third, and a team relay podium and a Tour de Ski overall, which is a big deal. She won the overall in 2021. And she was the first American to win. She is now the first American to win 2 World Cup cross-country skiing overall crowns. Bill Koch was the only other one to win a World Cup overall. He took the title in 1982. And pretty cool. She was battling this last summer in training. She was battling an eating disorder. And she was pretty vocal about it. And pretty cool. She came back from that and was successful. Anchorage, Alaska, Rosie Brennan, who finished 10th on Sunday, had 5 individual podiums herself. And also Sophia Lockley also had a win for Team USA. Men had unprecedented success. First time in history, 3 American men took podiums in the, Schoonmaker, Schumacher, and Ben Ogden. This year all had podiums and... I mean, that's just pretty doggone amazing, mm-hmm. I have to say. completely shifting gears. Have you ever slept on a beach before?
No.
Okay. It's the coolest thing ever. It really is. So we were out doing ski training a summer when I was coaching out at Mount Hood, and we'd take 3-day break with the junior racers. We go to the coast and we do training on the beach. We'd run and then we'd take them out, do some deep sea bass fishing, whatever else. Anyway, so there was a bunch of us coaches. We all decided, well, let's sleep on the beach. It's pretty cool. It's a nice clear night. And that was out in Washington or Oregon, excuse me, right in Nehalem. It's called Nehalem. And I happen to have a Gore-Tex bag and everybody else did. I don't know what they had, but I wake up in the morning, my bag is just soaked. And of course, half the other people, they hadn't slept because their bag was drenched. They were just soggy and everything else. But point come to here is it's an experience. I think it's just a really cool experience just to see the stars and fall asleep on the beach. It's really cool. Well, this is why I do, for the most part, like the Midwest, because for the most part, people are pretty conscious of cleaning up after themselves and doing that. But in the story, overnight camping at California Beach is banned thanks to an excess of human waste. You believe that?
Really?
Yep. Overnight camping in the beach in the Central Coast is banned because of that. And the Central Coast Commission announced Thursday the overnight camping and campfires will be banned at the beach for the next 2 years. It's located near Highway 1 near San Luis Obispo County, about an hour drive south of San Francisco. It's the only free beach campsite in the Big Sur area, and in fact, it's not widely known until recently. They detail deteriorating quality of the beach in a staff report made available. The report noted that more visitors frequented the campsite once word spread it was free. Lack of resources for U.S. Forest Service to monitor the site, and a lack of trash cans, restrooms, and firings led to a higher level of trash debris, etc. The beach has no restrooms, very limited parking, no potable water, and no trash containers or collection. And the area is home to a number of endangered animals, such as the western snow plover, which may have been harmed by the beach's deteriorating conditions. While the ban is in effect, U.S. Forest Service will devise a plan to reset and figure out a way to allow camping in the future. Day use is still available. Okay, so that's just...
People, man. I know.
If it's free, abuse it.
That seems to be the mindset.
You know, I don't get it. It's a little frustrating. In my mind, it's beyond the frustration level. So, anyway, keep that in mind this summer. When you guys go out to a park...
Just be respectful.
Whether you're going to go have a campsite or a shore lunch, or you're going to go on a campsite and park it for 3-4 days, just be aware of that. It just makes you frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned I was going to go on a soapbox.
Yeah, you've got 9 minutes to get it all.
I got a 9-minute soapbox? Sweet!
I'm keeping track here.
Me, it's all about me.
Hey, it is your show, so please proceed.
Okay, here we go. So last week we talked about Mille Lacs. I was going to have Tony Roach on this week.
He's not feeling well.
He is not feeling well after the sports show. You know, you meet so many people, you're bound to catch something. He's got a cold, so he sounded a little horrible.
Not good radio.
No, it wasn't being good radio. So, or it could have been really good radio, depending on how you look at it. So the thing that was brought up was they're looking at and they have reduced the walleye to catch and release only all the way through till mid-August.
Ooh, okay.
And the reason they say is because of forage, right?
Sure.
Meaning bait fish are not there.
Right.
Okay. So, and they said there was an excess amount of harvest. So that I pondered that. I listened to last week's show, and I didn't really emphasize it enough. The fact that you had a 90% reduction in business in that whole area, and that's from the people that own resorts and own businesses and everything else.
And they know how many people.
And you've got businesses that are there that have been, they're impacted to a whole different level.
Right. And they know who's been on the lake.
And not.
Yeah.
And then we have the DNR that has, I have to think of the appropriate word, the gall. I was going to use a different word, but.
The guts.
The cojones to tell us that they had an abnormally high catch rate in winter. I squeaked, sorry. In winter? That's ridiculous. Okay, now let's put that just aside for a second. The claim is there's not enough forage. There's too many fish that were caught. We're not going to allow any fish to be taken at all. Zero.
Yep.
Okay?
Catch and release.
From the opener all the way through the 16th of August. Now, Wisconsin, now they're saying the same thing, except they're not using the same quote-unquote reasonings. When I thought this was all scientific, excuse me, but there isn't a real line or a wall or a ocean between us and Wisconsin. Last time I checked, you can pretty much readily drive across the river, right? There's a bridge or yeah. two that goes mm-hmm. joins, you know, and at some points it's not even a river. It just kind of blends. You don't know if you're in Wisconsin or Minnesota except for the signs.
Right.
Okay. I say that for a specific reason. They say that they're limiting in Wisconsin now. They're saying that they're limiting walleye or going to reduce the harvest because the species is struggling to adapt to sporadic warming winters due to climate change.
Okay.
And they're saying, and this is, okay, this is a study that was done at the University of Wisconsin Madison Center for Limnology, and it was put on WPR's morning show. Now, the problem I have with a lot of this stuff, the study is either flawed, and I'm not saying this one is, but it's either flawed, inconclusive, or they don't understand the actual source that they're dealing with as far as the fish go. This is the only reason I'm saying this. Don't take me wrong. There's a lot of smart people out there, smarter than me for sure. I'm not even ranking in that level. But there's thoughts we have to think about. Here's the reason. The quote says, when thinking about how to deal with climate change, let's control the things we can control. It's hard to control the amount of carbon in your atmosphere if you're at a lake. But when you're fishing on your lake, you can control how many fish you keep, or you can manage the spawning habitat. They called walleye one of the best studied fish in the state. So they think it's one of the best fish the first fish they've studied. It's the most studied fish. And they co-authored, and they said that the increasing unpredictability of Wisconsin's winters and the warming climate are threatening the survival of young walleye in many Midwestern lakes. On the show, the question was that came up, it said, climatology office says this is likely to be the warmest winter ever recorded in Wisconsin. Why are the walleye under stress? This is the crazy part about this, that we have two states that are right next to each other. One state has one thing to say. Another one has a completely different state. It's not even in the realm of the same situation. Walleye spawn's been historically pretty tightly linked to when the ice melts off the lake or ice off. We think that for that reason, it's because the spawning to time the hatching of their young are to be around when there's food availability. Meaning, when this fish happens, it's not far after ice off. There's a given time, and therefore, a lot of different things happen because there's more light that comes into the lake, etc. Ice off triggers a series of events where you get algae, zooplankton production, where there are little tiny crustaceans that feed baby fish. The baby fish hatch, and there's zooplankton around to eat. Because we're getting more extremely early and extremely late ice off years, we think all of those events are coming out of sync. Now, these baby fish are hatchling in really early the year. They're actually hatching in the missed time for the zooplankton food, and they don't have enough food to survive and grow. That's going to hurt the ability of the walleye populations to produce the next generation of fish. Okay? So, it says here we're getting more very extremely early and extremely late ice off years.
What?
See, that's my whole point. They're edging both sides against the metal. But the biggest piece of this comes in where you're claiming that you're moving Green Bay walleye, for example. It used to be 5, now they're moving it to 3. And they're saying that's the issue. And they're saying walleye spawning's not changing nearly as fast as ice off. Over time, they're starting to fall behind the pace of climate change and the pace of our changing springs. Well, I don't know about you, but last year and a couple, 3-4 years before that, the ice off was late. In fact, we were worried about even being able to get on the ice. When we were talking to Chris Grandroot up at Lake of the Woods or Rainy Lake, I mean, they were flooded and they had ice and they had everything else under the sun. So really what it comes down to is, they said, is there anything people can do to help protect spawning walleye? The things you can control: how to use the land on the edge of your lakes to promote water quality, protect spawning habitat, follow harvest regulations. There are a lot of things you can do to control and to boost resiliency of walleye and climate change. There's more difficult control at the local level, and controlling invasive species is another one. So you guys, this is there's non-science being applied in both situations that they're trying to cover as science, which I fully do not understand.
Mm-hmm.
And Wisconsin is saying it's climate change
affecting the food
affecting the babies. There's not enough zooplankton.
Yeah.
Well, that never came into anything that we're talking about at Mille Lac, which is one of the biggest walleye producing lakes in the country. So, hey, for Ava and myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. Thanks for hanging out with us. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy.